Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah.
Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Here comes the dog.
The dog right on track.
Can't give us a second.
No.
You know what I mean?
She's getting worse.
She's a nightmare. Oh, here she is being good. Okay. I'm backing on the dog.
All right. Fine. The dog's fine.
Norm, how you feeling this morning?
Good. Yeah. No.
You woke up and got right to work.
Yeah, I got up and went right to work.
You should feel great.
Yeah, that's true.
That's like 0 to 100. Gone in 60 seconds.
Wait a minute. I should feel good. Yeah, you're right. I got up and got right to work and then got the work done. Here we are.
And away we go.
Yeah, what's left for the day? Oh, right. We have someone coming to murder the ants in our house. That's fun.
Can I get a break, please?
Does the audience care that we have ants? I don't think that they do.
All I know is other people have ants as well. So we're kind of putting out relatable content.
Right, right. So if you also suffer from ants, shoot us a line. Hashtag ant problems.
Norm, scale 1 to 10, how you feel in terms of your self-esteem?
The fact that I just realized that I actually got up and got going and got some work done, you're right, it is a positive thing. I was going to say a 5, but yeah, maybe I'll say I'm a 6.
Norm, you're being insane.
Well,
in front of everyone?
Yeah, you and the dog sleeping, and of course, the billions of ants.
Bless those mess.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe I feel pretty good, in general. Mm-hmm.
I feel like you've been getting a bunch done and getting, in all aspects of your life, you've been in a real, okay, why wait? And
right.
Doing things right away, and you're getting so much done.
Yeah, I caulked everything in the house the other day.
You built that. Like blockade in the back stop Mia.
Here's another thing the audience certainly does not care about. The dog has been running around the shed and we don't like that. So
we don't like it at all.
I built a cinder block 2x4. What did you call it? A blockade.
A blockade. She's fucking furious. She's so mad about it.
Oh, the dog's pissed. But, the dog eats crud off the ground.
Yeah. I love the dog, but, she needs to get a life.
Yeah. If we posted a picture of her right now, people would be you're
stupid.
Monsters. What's wrong with you? This dog is an angel.
I think she looks like an idiot.
No, she's just, she looks like someone painted a bagpipe like a cow that just shits all day. It's a nightmare.
Oh, my God. Norm, that might be one of your best ones yet.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Okay. We've covered everything.
Who's the guest today?
This is a blast.
Okay.
It's Aisha, our friend Aisha Alpha. Aisha Alpha. Spoiler alert.
Did you talk about she used to play collegiate soccer?
We did not.
Oh, okay. Well, another time.
We really got into it. What had happened was we had run into each other at a show at Dynasty.
Dynasty.
And kind of had had our first in-person connection in years.
Right, right, right.
So we really hit it off. We talk about the whole night.
She's at some of the Canadian hangs. She was we saw her at Dynasty at the Just for Laughs showcase thing where she went on first. Anessa was on second, right?
Right, but we didn't hang.
No, I just,
because I'm saying
I gave her
after the show, I ran into her and then we hung out. Well, we talk about it, but we didn't get in any solid time. And then we were like, all right, we've got to do the podcast. And what a blast it turned out to be.
Oh, because you all went to the Prince after.
Norm, spoilers, left, right, and saunter. Oh, my God. I can't even breathe.
They shot a lot of Mad Men there.
Yeah, they did. Okay, that's good. We didn't cover that.
Okay.
So any final words, Norm? Any goals for the day or upcoming weeks that we should know about?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I've been trying to read a lot more and watch a lot more movies.
It's created a lot more for me to interrupt.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I appreciate.
It is funny because basically after 7 p.m., I just have peace and quiet and can watch whatever movie I want.
I love falling asleep on the couch. I think everything you watch is boring.
Everything I watch is boring.
Almost. That Elvis thing was pretty cool.
What Elvis thing? Oh, the Elvis.
That we watched.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, it was the
Vegas?
Turner Classic Movies played the Elvis documentary. Not the one where he's in the black, but the one where he starts his residency. Is it called Elvis The Way It Is? I think it might be called.
It was good.
It's a really good one.
I was into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to bed early. Here's the thing. Call it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to call it a night. And if your body's saying, I'm tired, just go. Because otherwise, otherwise, for me, I'm going to do things. I'm going to reach for the wrong things.
The
to
dog
get
is
energy.
So the dog is so bored. She's leaving the room.
Storming out. I can't. You know what? Fine. Fuck it. Let's get to the episode. I'm so sick of this.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I'm literally sick and tired of this.
Yep.
But you're not going to be sick and tired of this episode.
Huge
because
transition.
It is a doozy. So everyone, please help me welcome.
And you're not going to be bored by Simply Safe or whatever.
Everybody. Norm. Everybody, please help me welcome Aisha Alpha right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Aisha, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I am so excited to have you. There was a second when I thought I might not get you. Because
you
we had a bit
me.
Of
you
a panic.
Had me the whole time. Okay?
I had you the whole time. There was a second. There was a second where I thought I might not. And I was like, not bummed in a way of upset with you or something. But I was like, oh, damn, I was really looking forward to the big catch up.
I'm like, for anybody who has no clue what's happening in our heads, I'm going on a trip and I got very anxious and I'm scared of COVID. And so I asked if we could switch to Zoom. But you know what? I was like, I was upset too because I was like, oh my gosh, just, I was so looking forward to it. And then I felt like I was doing you dirty by like being like, can we just do it on Zoom? And
I'm I thought you were going to cancel period.
Oh, no.
When I texted you, you'd be like, hey, I have a giant dog that jumps.
Oh no.
She's so friendly. But I was like, oh, I better tell her because some people do have dog allergies. So I'm like, I always forget to tell people about her. So I was like, oh, I better tell her. And then I was like, if you would have canceled, I would have been like, totally fine. I understand anxiety and then you don't feel like talking because you're anxious about this other thing or whatever.
No.
But I was so glad you powered through because I saw you at the Dynasty show 2 weeks or the last
like
weekend or something.
Yeah.
And we got to chat, but you know, everybody's backstage and everything like that. So it's not like it's just a quick chat.
What a fun show and what, like I was just about to say, okay. First of all, fun show. Best backstage at Dynasty Typewriter I think I've ever had where everyone was so fun and having a great time. Everyone stayed. Everyone went out afterwards for a little hang.
I've never had that much fun at a show in like years. I have not had that much fun.
And also, your performance was one of my favorites. Like I was watching from backstage because, as you know, I kept missing the cue to come back out and kept running back on stage because I was having too much fun backstage. But like, you were so funny and just like, there's just something about you. Now this is like, you can use this as a clip just to play in your head for the rest of however long. But like, there's just something about you that when like, I was excited about this show, I was really excited to like see you because I hadn't seen you in a long time. But then like I got there and I was talking to people and it was great. You know, it's fine. And then you shut up and I was like, yeah, bring the party in a way that is so authentic and so wonderful that like, it just makes it like elevates things to a fun, like a different fun level.
You know what? I really appreciate you saying that because I was genuinely excited for the show and then seeing the lineup and knowing most of you, not everybody, but knowing most of you, I was like, this is going to be really fun. And it was one of those nights that was magical because just to clarify for everybody, the first location is the show. Mm-hmm. That's location one. You come there, you say hi, you hang in the green room for a little bit. Sometimes there's beers in a fridge. It is a hangout in and of itself.
Yes.
But that night, I've never seen anything like it where every single person on the show went to location two at the bar
And people added. Like, it was like the party kept
And people had
better.
To park. Yeah. And I kept going, guys, the parking's really bad because I tossed it out there. I went, the parking's bad. And everyone went, you know what? I'll leave it to chance. If I find a spot, I'll come in. If I don't, I'll go home. And everyone was like, sounds good.
Yes.
And then fucking everybody came.
I couldn't find parking forever. And I'm really bad with directions. So I kept kind of getting lost in my looking for parking. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do one more circle. And if I don't find it, I won't go. And I did a circle and I didn't find it. I was like, you know, I'll do one more circle. Like, I was like, clearly I really wanted to be there. So I found it was, you know, it worked out. But
well, I was so glad, especially that you were there. Not that I was happy everyone was there and new friends as well. But I was really happy you were there because it's, and I don't know your situation in full, but it is hard to get a mom out and stay out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's tough to do because I understand it's like whether your partner's watching or whoever, a babysitter or whatever, I do understand there are time restrictions. So I'm like, I know that that can be tricky.
Yes. At our stage, we have a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And we're sort of, our one-year-old is just starting to sleep most of the night. She'll wake up once in the night usually, and then I'll feed her and she'll go back to sleep. So this is like huge for us. But for me at this point now, I'm like, if I can get out, then baby, I stay out. Like, I'm not doing my set and going home. People are like, do you want to go on early so you can get home? I'm like, you can put me on early, but I'm going to stay till the end of the show unless I'm really tired.
Sure.
I'm like, this is me being out and living life again, which is something that like I've missed so much over the pandemic. I had like, you know, it's been 2.5 years of sort of lockdown on and off. I was either pregnant, had a newborn, pregnant again, on bed rest, and then had a newborn again during that time. So I was like, you know, it's like, it's been really, really a tough time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have been mourning this old life I had and mourning parts of my old self that like, you know, it's just not going to come back. It's a different world and I'm loving it. I love being a mom. It's wonderful. But like, I was single and no children for a long ass time.
And you were out and about.
Doing things, yeah. Hustling, going out every night, going like, you know, and now it's like very, very different. So when I do get to go out and have like little glimpses of the fun and freedom of that, I'm like, oh girl, I am out. I will go to the second movie. I will look for parking. You know what I mean? That's my commitment.
You will always be worth that 15th lap around. You know what? Five more. Just five more quick laps.
Like, everyone's leaving. I'm like, it's fine. I'll just do one more lap and then I'll come say my goodbyes and then I'll leave.
No, I appreciate that. I want to hear more about this bed rest, but I just realized I didn't do the self-esteem party check-in with you.
Oh my goodness.
We got, this is how excited I was to talk to you. I just looked down and I was like, oh my God, we're already like 6 minutes in. I was like, okay, I got to ask her before we go any further. So on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of how you're feeling about yourself and self-love and all that kind of stuff, where would you say you're feeling today or possibly as of late, if there's been a bit of a theme with the numbers
So today I'm feeling like an 8. Okay.
Great.
Which is great. It's a great feeling. I think the only thing that made me not a 10 is that I was feeling a little bit of anxiety about like travel and all that kind of stuff. Right. But
yep.
And I will say as of late, I have been feeling like, I think I would have given myself overall also an 8, but okay. I think if I were to look and compare it to myself 6 months ago, I would be like, I'm at a 25. Because it's just been a super big shift. And it's like something like clicked recently where I was like, oh, I get to choose how I feel. I get to choose. Like, it's just been like a real shift in a dynamic of like how I'm seeing things and the positivity and my self-belief. So it's been, it's been great.
You know what? That makes me really happy to hear that you are changing the narrative of how you look at it. Like taking control of yourself.
Yeah.
Not that, and not in a fake it way where you're like, I'm going to be happy today. It's in a way where you're going, okay, hold on. However I'm feeling today, but 6 months ago, if I was in this place, I got to have a bit of moment of celebration that I'm doing good today.
Totally.
So it's like, you have to give yourself permission to go, hey, everything's okay today.
Yeah. I think the real key has been that I've always been a super like, probably annoyingly positive person.
You say annoying, I say infectious.
Oh, I
and
love it.
It's a pandemic. It's not the best time to use that word.
But, I'm affecting people left, right, and center.
But you are. Look, when we got to the show, it was like you and I were like somebody shot two firecrackers at each other and it just exploded the second I saw you.
Oh,
and
man,
we'll
I
get
love
to
it.
My accusation. We have to clear the air on something because I did solve it.
Oh, good. So, I'm excited to hear.
So we'll get back to that, everybody. We'll fill you all in on what that's about. But just to go back, because you said 6 months ago you were in a bad spot, but that had nothing to do with, because you had mentioned bed rest earlier, but the timeline's off because you said you had a one-year-old, so it doesn't have to do with that.
Yes, I think that some of the sort of falling into this, I always call it like falling off the cliff. Like, I'm a really positive person, and I'm like, yay. And then it's like, if I get pushed off the cliff, so whether it's just, you know, postpartum stuff or whatever it is, it's kind of like everything's wonderful until it's not, and then it's like bad. Like, I have a hard time when I start to fall, I'm like, here I go. And then I'm clawing to try and find it, but I drop down mm-hmm. far, and then it's like this trek to get back up. So that's how I sort of imagine it in my head. But I was on, you know, I had a kid. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. One kid is great. It's hard in certain ways, but it was like easy. You know what I mean? Kind of compared mm-hmm. to what life is now. Then the pandemic hit. Everything was a little bit more difficult. My family's in Canada. My husband's family's on the East Coast. So we were really alone in it. We couldn't go travel to see anybody. It was just like, we didn't have health care or childcare, anything like that. And then I got pregnant again, got put on bed rest. So that meant like I couldn't parent my kid. I couldn't be active. I couldn't do anything. You know, like I really couldn't do anything. And people are like, well, it's the pandemic. Everything's closed. But I was like, no, but like I can't go for a walk. Like I can't pick up my kid who's like, mama, let's play. And I was like, I have to explain, my placenta's in the wrong place, so I'm bleeding and blah, blah. Like, it's just like, it doesn't, you know, it can't happen. He just knows mama can't play with him.
You're on lockdown.
Yeah, I'm on lockdown.
The world's on lockdown and you're on lockdown. Yeah.
So it was I was like really angry is what happened.
Oh my God.
And then I felt guilty because I was like, well, you're pregnant. All of my like emotions and chemical body makeup is like also going to this baby. So I felt guilty about being angry. And then like, then I get mad at, like, it's just like that spiral of like negativity.
Yeah.
And that was for a couple of, like, 3 months, I think, 3.5 months.
That's a long time.
Until things shifted, and then I was able to, like, move again and have a, you know, natural birth. But what I didn't realize is I think I went into sort of a postpartum depression that wasn't, like, I wasn't, you know, this sort of when people think of that where you're, like, just sad and can't get out of bed, or I wasn't, like, suicidal or, like, not connecting with my baby. I just was, like, off for a long time. Right. I'm a little bit like angry or negative. And for me, that's a huge deal because I am naturally positive. I'm happy for everybody. Like, that's just sort of how I am and who I am. And so I just felt like, oh my gosh, like, what is wrong with me? Like, what is going on? But didn't feel like I could talk to anyone about it because I wasn't like the typical postpartum stuff. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to say I have that to my doctor.
Yeah, because everyone's going to go, oh, you're doing great.
Yes, exactly.
You seem fine.
Go talk to a therapist. And then, like, what are you going to say? I just feel mm-hmm. a bit off. Like, it just doesn't kind of compute. But everything, like, you know, like, for, like, personal growth stuff, for, like, momming, I felt guilty. For, like, being a good friend, wife, daughter, all that kind of, like, everything just fell off. And then I think, the big change in the last little bit is that I had that sort of shift where I was like, oh, everything is doable. You just have to figure it out. And I read this quote, which I thought was so perfect for moms, but it was like, you want the best for your kids at all times, but they don't really need it. And I was like, it sounds like funny.
They don't
like,
even know.
Right? They don't know.
They don't know what milk you give them.
Right, exactly. And like, even things like a car seat, like every car seat that's on the market is like rated for safety. It's safe. But they have like car seats that are like $100 and car seats that are $1,000. And so you're like,
yes.
You know what I mean? You're like, it's all fine. The $100 one will do just as good
of a job. I've gone to enough baby showers with the registry where I'm going, no wonder why you're having this fucking shower. How can you afford to live with your baby?
Yes, it's literally, it's just so, it's crazy. So that kind of gave me this feeling of like, oh yeah, like I don't have to feel bad all the time. Everyone who's a parent is having a hard time at times. And like, you know, it's just the reality of it. And I was like, I had this moment where I was like, I'm not doing anything for myself. I'm not going out and seeing my friends or like taking time to like, I love painting. I'm not painting anymore. I'm not like, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing yoga. I wasn't meditating. And so I had this moment with my husband where I was like, I need to take at least one day every week where I step away from you. And I just go into like my office, or I go out with myself, take myself on a date, or I go out with a girlfriend or whatever it is. And it's like me time away from my family, not to feel guilty. And then mm-hmm. that has made such a difference because I'm like, oh, remember how like free you actually are? Remember how much privilege you actually have? Remember how great life actually is? And I bring that enthusiasm back to my house. And I'm like, it literally has like shifted the ball into being like, positive, more positive naturally, and like being happy for things and being excited about things and being like, you know, having some more self-belief and just like being a healthier human being. It's been unbelievable.
Well, it's like, because if you think about it, if you're looking at having your kids and I don't do this anymore, it's a loss.
Yeah.
But having your kids is supposed to be a gain on what you already had, an addition to it. So I understand. Listen, I don't have kids, but I've been a nanny, so I've witnessed it with moms, or in some cases dads, like whoever was the primary caregiver in for that setup. Or whoever, a million moms and a million dads, or a million people.
Right.
But I don't know how. Hey, guess what? Families are complicated. So I'm not here to place judgment, but it's like you need to be able to rely on those people. Like you said, you had a conversation with your husband, because you're no good to us if you're not you.
Yeah.
So I understand you got to lose a few things or change or adjust, but it's like to lose yourself, then how are you supposed to instill in your children the things you like about yourself and the lessons and the morals and the things you want them to know if you don't even exist?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Painting, for example.
Yes.
You have how are you going to pass fullness. That on? You haven't painted in 10 years. Right. You know what I mean? How are you going to be like, hey, here's how you paint. They're going to be schooling you.
Yeah, it's like, it's so true. It's like, you have to, it's the whole thing about you got to put your oxygen mask on first when you're on the plane in life. You know what I mean? You really do have to take care of yourself, because it seems, and it's this whole thing of like, I mean, I'm turning this whole thing into like motherhood, but like this thing about like moms have to be self-sacrificing. And of course you do. You have to give up your body. You have to give up like your sleep, everything like that. We don't have a choice in that. Like that's going to happen. You know what I mean? I don't have to do that. Yeah. That just happens. But like you do not and should not sacrifice yourself, like the core of who you are, because otherwise you're a bad mom. Like you're a bad you. You're not doing. I look at this. This is what in my therapy it says. My job is to be joyful, and not in a way of like you got to be happy all the time, but like I'm a joyful person, and that's like that's actually what I bring to the world. So that's my job, is to just bring myself fully.
You know, I find, tell me what you think of this, and I could be off. It's just my interpretation. I do find joy and happiness to be different in the sense of this. I can be miserable, but experience a moment of joy.
Yes.
But with being happy, I associate that more with not something you have, but a bit more of like who you are, if that makes sense. So it's like, because I've just found like I can have moments and I would call them joy. I wouldn't call them moments of happiness, but I can feel sometimes happy. So that's how I make that association, because I'm like, I know what happy feels like. I've been there.
Yeah.
And I, you know what I mean? But I'm like, if I'm not there, I'm like, well, there's still little pockets where I'm like, okay, for example, you know, you're in mourning over somebody that has passed away. Okay. You're not doing much. You're recluse. You're whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. But then you go see a movie and you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, right in the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not happy because this person has passed on and I'm struggling, but I'm like, I enjoyed the movie.
Totally. I think it's
that's
like,
how I look at
happiness
it.
Happiness for me, I feel like it's like, is an emotion, right? Like I'm currently like, you know, but joy is like a way of being and like an essence and like an aura, like a deeper sort of thing. So I'm like, I feel like I can be joyful and still, in the like real definition of like Zen, experience all the emotions, happy, sad, surprised, angry, resentful, all that stuff, and let them come through me and pass through me, you know, a conduit for that emotion. But I can still exist as a joyful being and give off
that. And it's good
to
have those emotions and let yourself have all those other emotions that maybe aren't happiness or experience of joy. Well, how are you going to teach your kid to show them it is okay to feel angry or frustrated sometimes? Otherwise, if it's just this pressure of happy, you're gonna give them a total complex.
Well, and we do, like, I grew up in a household where you weren't allowed to have any emotions, right? Like, you were allowed to be happy, nothing else. And you would get real, like, there's a lot of, like, sort of emotional trauma that I'm kind of, like, realizing that I have and how I, like, brought that forward. And I think that as parents, we often think of, like, oh, my kid's crying, my kid's being, in quotes, difficult or having struggle or whatever, I've got to stop that from happening and change it to what we think of like as happiness or this default. But it's like what you really learn as a parent when you like dig into all this stuff is that it's not about changing that. It's about being like, oh yeah, I get it. You're feeling sad right now, right? Like you actually, that's a good emotion to experience. And it's good to develop skills to be able to self-soothe and to figure out why we're feeling that and how we can let go of that. But like you do have to dive into it in order to come out of it, because if you're just like, don't feel sad, don't be angry, don't say things like don't be mean. It's like, well, we have to let our kids and let ourselves this is the whole, it's all a thing about like our inner kid, right? Parenting is all about like bringing your inner child back and healing all of your traumas and like parenting mm-hmm. yourself. So it's like, we have to be able to allow ourselves to feel those emotions and go through it, because then we are actually a more like developed human being who is able to self-soothe, who's able to be more joyful, to be more in those states that we want to be in. But like, it's okay to feel resentful. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel anxious. Otherwise, you stop yourself from being full.
Now, yes, full. Yes, mm-hmm. I love that. That's a perfect word to have. Now, have you ever felt like, this is a better question. Have you, because you said you're generally a positive, happy person, mm-hmm. like throughout your life or whatever. Did you ever have a bout of depression or something that wasn't that postpartum experience that you just described to us?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think I have, mm-hmm. but it was like, I was totally confused by it, you know, because okay. I grew up in a household where it's like, that doesn't exist, depression or like anger or sadness and stuff. Like, you better not mm-hmm. bring that to the table. And so when I was experiencing those things, I was just like, what is this? Like, I don't actually understand. Oh, and I don't know what this is. And so I, you know, in the past, I was I like existed on a very superficial level, even though I feel like I'm naturally a very deep person, grounded and deep. But like, yeah. because of the fear of having these emotions, negative emotions, like sadness, depression, whatever, I was like, don't go there, just exist on the superficial. So I had a lot of like acquaintances, I was all, you know, that kind of thing. But like, I had a lot of anxiety about like getting deep. And so I feel like when I had those bouts where it was like, I'm feeling off, something's wrong here. I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know who to talk to. So I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist and stay on the superficial level. And I'm just like the clown, you know what I mean? Who's like kind of performing. And now that I'm kind of getting to know myself a lot better, I'm realizing like, oh yeah, like I did. I lived overseas for a long time and I wasn't sure what I was doing with my life. And at the end of sort of this really fun, like, playing soccer, playing Gaelic football. I worked at this bar that my boyfriend owned that was like a fun time. I had a bunch of money. I traveled. Like, it sounded super glam and fun. But I was like, at the end of my stint there, I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. Like, I can't do this mm-hmm. forever. It doesn't make me feel full or happy. But I didn't know how to like experience that. And so I was just like kind of manically trying to figure life out in like bad ways. You know what I mean? And doing things yeah. that I was reckless. And now I look back, I'm like, oh, I was depressed. I just needed help.
You know, I think you are so right that a telltale sign is being reckless. That yeah. is what, when I was really depressed, and that diagnosis would either grow or change later. I don't know how chemicals work in your body. I don't know if they change, like whatever happens. Mm-hmm. But at the time when I had been diagnosed as depressed, it was that erratic behavior, that like lashing out almost by doing like, and this is fine if you do this, but sleeping with a lot of people mindlessly.
Right. Uh-huh.
So it was like, that was something I did because I was like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
And that was not the right attitude. If you're going to sleep with a bunch of people, enjoy it.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm saying enjoy it. Yeah. Don't just do it, because it almost became like, that was something that became a little almost self-harm
yeah.
in the sense that it was kind of like I was just treating my own body like something to be used.
Yeah, yeah,
and it
yeah.
was like, you know what I mean? And everyone was fine and it was like, whatever. And I got on well with everybody at the time. But but yeah. it wasn't, my heart and head weren't in it. And that was one way that I was like lashing out yes. is that I was just like, you know, this feels nothing. And I think I was trying to get a feeling.
Yeah. 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 You're trying to like push the boundary. Mine manifested in, I would, party to the max, okay. like
substance
out, like, and not even like I would drink. I'm not a huge drug person. I did like mushrooms a couple times, had the time of my life, but you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's not like my thing, but like I would drink, but I would like get on a motorcycle with like a full-on like biker gang person I met at a gas station and like just disappear with this random person I didn't know with no mm-hmm. helmet on, drunk on the back of a motorcycle, and like go somewhere else with them. Like this kind of stuff where you're like, oh, I should have been killed multiple times in yeah. the way that I was yeah. being reckless, because I was like trying to find that push the boundary to find a feeling because I was so confused about how to like actually feel feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I sometimes tell stories about like past Aisha. And when I tell them, I'm like, oh my God, these are the things that you're like the like stereotypical stories where it's like, don't go into a van in a dark alley to get candy. I literally did that. I went into, like, I'm not even kidding you. I went into a back
alley. It's so dangerous. And, yeah, I'm laughing, but this is very
crazy.
Bad.
Crazy. I'm like, I went into a man's van. It turned out he worked for a chocolate company. He had a bunch of chocolate. He gave me the chocolate and I left. So this is like, I have like a warped, you know what I mean? I keep pushing the boundaries and no one kills me. So I just kept pushing them further and further and further.
Damn. That one was, that's really pushing it.
Oh, yeah. I have a whole comedy a comedy bit about
that. That one's
like,
bad.
It's real. I like when I tell the story, I'm like, this is the thing, the like ridiculous story where you're like, no one's going to go into a back alley to get candy out of a van. Oh, Aisha did it. Okay, good, good, good. Got it.
Oh, Aisha did it. Okay, no problem. Sounds good to me. You're going to be the example. You're the trailblazer. This is what I was talking about as you as a mom. These are the lessons you got to teach your kid.
Yeah.
So you got to be present to be able to do that. Aisha, to teach the children, go get the candy. It always pans out. And yes, you have a perfect story of how actually they are telling the truth.
Go not get the candy. A bad person. Sometimes
not everybody's bad.
Candy.
And who are you to judge them? Honestly, like, thank God I'm not a mom. Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
You know what? Honestly, I mean, I know we're joking, but I think you'd be a fucking amazing mom. I'm just saying.
That's, I don't know if you guys want to have
kids
or not,
but I'm like, if you became a mom, your kids would be like, they would be so, I feel like so self-appreciative because of you.
You know what? No, they'd be the devil. I appreciate you saying that, but I was a piece of shit.
I
know I was. I lied. I had a serious lying problem.
Me too.
Couldn't get enough of the stuff. Loved it.
I had to make a pact with myself to stop lying to people as an adult.
Talking a couple years ago. I kicked it.
Shamefully not that long ago, right?
Like, but you know what, Aisha? First of all, this is music to my ears, to my terrible lying ears. But this is why I appreciate you saying that, and that you also had that struggle. I actually think it had a lot to do with me later becoming a comedian, because I make up characters and I make up stories. Yes. So I'm like, was I a bad kid, or did I just not know how to transfer that imagination? So I just like lied and made stuff up.
You know, it's very, that's like an actual developmental stage for kids, is knowing the difference between imagination and reality. And I think that there's some people who maybe that takes a little bit longer, or the lines are blurred for longer. And it's not really like, oh, you're a bad person, whatever. It's that like literally your brain is just like developing in a different way than maybe the middle of the road average kid. That's what I honestly think.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those, you know, it's just parenting is always changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I was a nanny at the age of, oh my God, 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. So 2 to 3 years ago. I remember being a nanny 2 to 3 years ago. But I one time went to a parenting course with a mom, and everything I learned in that course has now changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like now you talk to someone, it's like the way you talk to kids, like, how does that make you feel? Or I know you're frustrated, right, or like whatever. Whereas like the majority of the course that I learned was discipline.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Consequences. I mean,
there were like doctor's books. Recently I saw an article where it was like the 100 things that have changed in parenting that will make you laugh. And one of them, once there was a doctor who was like a world-renowned doctor about like, you know, kids and psychology and all this kind of stuff. And one of the things he said was, you should try and wean your baby off of breast milk at 6 days old, and that you should give them rice, like rice pudding milk kind of thing. And that by 6 months, they should be having, 3 months, they should be eating scrambled eggs and bacon. And at 6 months, they should be having, wait for it, a coffee every day. And I was like, what?
You know, I hate to say it, but I think we're on to something. Yeah. And like, I'm not a doctor or a mom.
It's just not so. It's like, yeah, it always is evolving. It's like whatever works for you. It's the same thing as like personal development. It's like whatever works for you is what you should be doing. And you'll know. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know.
And if you don't know, maybe someone will gently tell you.
Yeah.
Maybe someone will give you a bit of a, a tip or
or you try something and it doesn't work, and then you just check that off the list of things that you're going to try again because it didn't work.
You know, I don't want kids. Mm-hmm. I don't plan on it because it just seems too stressful to me.
It is very stressful.
Yeah. I think the responsibility, like I get stressed out with the dog. I've never had a pet for more than like, I don't know, 2 weeks. So you just let, you just time. Turn them loose. You just turn them loose. That you get pets to set them free. That's why you get them. It's a miracle this dog has lasted as long as it has.
What kind of dog do you have?
Great question. She's like a pit bulldog mix. So she's really broad in the chest. She's very broad.
So cute.
She was 20 pounds overweight when we got her.
20
I starved
pounds?
Her out. I was like a dance mom. You should have seen me. This dog didn't even get a penny out of me.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's, she sounds like beautiful though.
She's okay.
Okay, I take it back. You shouldn't be a mom. I'm just kidding. You're like, yeah, just whatever. Just okay. I don't know.
All right, Aisha. Here's the moment of truth. I brought up earlier. Well, I brought up at the show. We had an incident. Okay, guys, here's the incident. It's time to talk about it. You know, this has been fun and everything. Me saying I don't want to be a mom because it's too stressful and everything like that. But we got to squash this beef. Uh-huh. Okay, so here's what happened, everybody. At the show, and there's no other word to say it other than confronted. Aisha, or accused you and I of having a meeting for a coffee once on Queen Street in Toronto a million years ago. And that you told me you had brown rice and avocado.
And now, this is the thing. I forget a lot of times, and I was like, yeah, maybe. I thought we met in LA, and I was like, going with the story. And then when you said that I was eating just brown rice and avocado, I was like, oh, that's definitely not me. That's
it was 100% a violent not me. It was a violent reaction. There's no other way to say it. It was a violent reaction.
I was on board until that last part. I was like, absolutely not.
You went mental on me, and you were like, that wasn't me. And I'm like, no, 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 it was you. And you're like, no, that wasn't me. And you were like adamant. Here's the thing. I owe you a public apology.
I'm so excited to know who this was.
I found out who it was, and this is even worse. It was... And now, okay, this is a two-part answer. Uh-huh. The brown rice avocado was a conversation with my sister. and it gets worse, inside my parents' condo. So, because I told her, I was like, so I asked her, because she still lives in Toronto. Uh-huh. So I was like, oh, maybe she'll spark my memory or something like that. And I was like, well, we were talking about, so it's someone and brown rice and avocado and they recommended, she was like, that was me. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, Alana, for your digestion and your skin, that was me.
Oh my god.
I was like, because my older sister recommended it to her, so that's how she knows it was her. So now
I'm taking this as a compliment that you mistook me for a conversation you had with your sister. So that basically means like we're sisters now. Okay, got it.
It basically means that you're sister. Now let's just call something out. You two don't look the same. So now the question is, who is the mystery woman from the Queen Street coffee at the second cup? Who is the mystery woman? Because you also tried to give another Aisha option, not her.
Okay.
I know it's not her.
Okay.
So yes, that's why
Aisha
I'm like
Brown, who people sometimes are like, they mix us up all the time. I've gotten show requests where they're like, Aisha, you got to be back on the show. I was like, I'm sorry, I've never met you. I don't know who you are. I would happily come on your show, but
you know
you're definitely
what,
messaging the wrong one.
You two are the only Aishas I know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can understand people like being like, oh yeah, Aisha, thinking it's the only Aisha they've met.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point.
Because I had it like there's not that many Alanas in comedy. So if you say Alana, you're going to assume it's me now.
Also, because you're a superstar,
fact,
but yes.
I'm a superstar. First of all, yes. Mm-hmm. Second of all, interesting fact, when I used to work on this Disney cartoon on the Warner Brother lot, there was another Alana Johnston banned from all the studio lots in LA. And I got pulled over to secondary inspection. They had to put my picture in the booth
and
so that
like,
when I came
allowed.
In, that this one's allowed.
Funny story. Okay, forget the rest of everything we've been talking about. This is now about finding that Alana Johnston. We must unite you two.
There was on YouTube. I don't know if they're still on there, but a couple of years back, I was researching. I was trying to type in like Alana Johnston comedy, Alana, like whatever, and sift through to get past myself. Uh-huh. And there was a girl poorly singing karaoke, and I was like, "Is this Alana Johnston?
What was she like?" Let's just assume it was her.
It was blurry. Like?
Oh.
She's singing. It's blurry. There's lights. And I don't even remember the song, to be honest with you. It might not even be on there. This was like so many years ago. She might have like, you know, woken up and been like, this is bad. Keep this online. this is really bad news.
I'm so interested to know who this person is now. Because like,
well, now, first of all, we have to figure out the Queen Street Coffee woman, and now we have to figure out the other Alana Johnston.
New podcast idea. In addition to this one, we're going to start a new one where we investigate when we've mixed people up. We're going to find out who they are. No one else cares, but they will by the end of our podcast.
Okay, mm-hmm. What about the podcast is called We'll Sort It. So we'll sort out the people that you seem to think is somebody else.
And our producer's name will be Will. So it'll come full circle with like name play. It's very deep. It's very deep.
So check that out, guys. No information. Just check it out. We have a TikTok. Check that out. Aisha, are you on TikTok? Let's talk about this. Are you on TikTok?
I'm not. I was for like a hot second. Me neither. Okay. I mean, I get that it's like the thing or whatever. I can only really commit to one social media thing, and that's Instagram. And it's the one I get, and it's the one I like, and that's it. That's all I got. I did one video on TikTok, and it was like the most ridiculous, silly thing where I just like looked at the camera, and then I made weird faces to music. And then I did nothing else for so long that when I went to go log back on, they were like, "Oh, did you want an account?" Because they had deleted my account and they were like, "You're going to have to start a new one." And I was like, "Eh, I don't really want it. It's fine." So
I just feel too old and too dumb.
I feel like people do it for comedy. They do put like their comedy on or their sketches or their like characters, which I think I'm like, I could get that for characters because it's just bim, bam, boom, get it on there.
Yeah.
But like, it's just another platform for me. If they were the same thing and it just went to both, which I'm sure you probably could do, I got, you know, 10 minutes a day to do this. Maybe.
Well,
you'll
see a lot of people cover all three, like Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
I'm not smart enough for Twitter. I don't have enough quick quips or hot takes on anything.
My tweets are terrible. They're just like, "I'm creamy today." In fact, I'm going to tweet that the second this ends. That's solid material.
I feel like I actually can't remember. The other day, I walked into my husband's office, like he was working, like on a meeting, and I said, like, mute it, I have a question. And he's like, "What?" And I was like, "Remember yesterday when we were walking to the car and I said something funny, and I don't remember what we were talking about or what the funny thing was, but I need you to remember so you can tell me so I can put it on, like, Instagram." And he was like, "This is why I'm being interrupted in my," he's a social justice lawyer, let me just preface with that, okay? And I was like, "I need you to remember, because I can't remember anything. My brain is mush when it comes to memory. I think it's like too many things going on, hormones, whatever. But like, I just cannot remember a single thing." And people, they're like, "Oh, I had this thought. I'm going to tweet it later." And I'm like, if I don't tweet it in that exact moment, it's gone. It never existed.
I can't remember anything as it comes out of my mouth. Like, I'll do, you know, an audition or something. They're like, "Great, we're going to do it again the exact same way."
Yes. And then you're like, "Right. Can you just remind me how exactly I did it?"
Can't remember a word. Yeah. Can't remember anything. So stressed out. I'm so stressed out. I have a callback today and there was a lot of riffing in it. And I'm like, I don't remember anything I said.
You should start recording yourself.
You know what? The problem is, actually, I wonder how I could do that just on my phone because it was a Zoom. So what? Put my voice memo down?
Yeah.
That's genius. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. I do that for a lot of things now because I can't remember anything. And I'm like, I'll just go back to that.
Yeah.
And then I label it, get this, this is another tip. I label that voice message with like what it was for and then colon and then a few notes about like any riffs that I, like, you know what I mean? It will like call back for this thing, a riff on this, the other person's whatever it is. So I can go back and just remember because I literally cannot remember a thing.
You know, I have I have, I think, one of the best and worst memories on the planet. And listen, maybe it's weed. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. I'm going to say it's Maybelline.
100%. But
I will remember, like, I won't remember names. Mm-hmm. I have, first of all, I have to see your face. Mm-hmm. Second of all, if we met briefly, I will not have remembered meeting you. Yeah, because if it's too many people around, it's too much stimulation.
Yes.
I can't focus. Yes. And you can't really fault me for that. When somebody's in a big group and there's a lot going on, I think a lot of people suffer with the
overstimulation. I've never really thought about it that way, but that's definitely, draws my brain in many different ways at the
really
same time.
Hard,
it's too much. Yeah.
Really hard to absorb information when meeting somebody new. But then every once in a while, there'll be someone that was like, oh, you might not remember, but we met after a show a few years ago. I asked you about your hair, and I'm like, yes, and I recommended L'Oreal. How did it work out?
And you remember like, everything.
And I
about
remember,
it.
I'll be like, oh yeah, you were trying to decide what Chinese restaurant to go with your grandma. What'd you guys end up choosing? Like, it's honestly, Aisha, I can only retain, I hate to say it about myself, useless facts. Yeah. Because
that's useful to someone. That person felt special.
I mean, that's going to make somebody feel special big time, because mm-hmm. that is like, it shows that you cared, or rather that you were like listening.
Yes.
But the not remembering names, and especially with this pandemic brain of mine where I haven't seen anybody for an extra 2 years, uh-huh. you know what I mean?
I never get offended when people don't remember me, because I'm like,
I never get offended.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll meet 10 more times. You don't remember me anytime, I'll remind you. It's fine.
I've been introducing myself as my new thing. So I've been being like, hey, so-and-so, it's Alana.
Yeah.
It's me, Alana Johnson. I kind of do it as a bit, but I really am introducing myself because sometimes I'll have a mask on, my hair looks a little different, or what, your hair's back or something. They just, you know, you're only seeing eyes.
Do people ever say to you like, yeah, I know who you are? Like, have you gotten that where they're offended that you're reintroducing? And I'm like, look,
actually,
I'm just trying to help everybody out here. Yes.
I've had it where they're like, of course I remember you. And I'm like, love that reaction.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. But I've definitely had people treating me like, yeah, no shit. And I'm like, okay, I was trying to make it easy for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to help you out right now.
We're trying to give everyone a pass to just like ask. You know, and like, I don't remember. Like, I've had people be like, I met you before. And I was like, oh, great. And then they're like, they like want to talk about it. Like, you don't remember? You don't remember this time? And I was like, oh, I think I remember being there. Yeah, great to re-meet you. But they can't let it go. They're like, and then we talked about this thing. I'm like, I've talked about that thing before. And I'm like, do you not remember me saying I don't remember meeting you? Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
You know why that's useless? Because now I am going to remember you in that I remember I hate talking to you moving forward. Like, you're so desperate for me to remember you that this is the negative memory you're now going to leave me with.
Imprinting.
You accosting me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay, do you ever get, like, because you said you don't get offended when people, if they don't remember you.
No, I don't.
Do you get, because you have this with Aisha, do you get offended when somebody mistakes you or says your name wrong or, like, stuff like identity?
I don't get offended by people remembering me. Like, one time I was introduced as Aisha Tyler, and I was like, great, because I love her. But, like, Aisha Brown, I know her. I like her. She's very funny. You know what I mean? We both have curly hair. We're black comedians mm-hmm. who were in Toronto at the same time. Like, why would you not? Like, I get it. There's not many of us, right? And mm-hmm. with my name, A-I-S-H-A, all the Aishas that I know spell it that way and have totally different pronunciations. So I don't get offended because I'm like, I'm Aisha. I know an Aisha. Someone else had a cousin. They said that it was spelled the same way, but it was Aisha somehow. And I was like, great, sure. So the only thing, I don't get offended, but the only thing I think is kind of funny is I think that there's sort of like almost the equivalence of color blindness with sounds for some people, where I'll say to them, they're like, how do you say your name? I'm like, Aisha. And they're like, great, Aisha. And I was like, no, just Aisha, like an eyeball. And I close one eye so I can just really focus in on one eye. And they go, got it. Aisha. And I was like, okay, so no. And then I do it 3 times, and if they don't get it, I'm like, I think they have sound blindness where they just can't hear the difference between those two, and I let it go. I'm like, I know you're talking about me. It's fine. I will answer.
There have been people calling me Alana for a decade.
Right.
I correct them in the beginning, and if you don't get it, like you said, let it go.
Yeah.
I go, you know, you've memorized it wrong. There's nothing we can do about it.
Exactly.
Let's just enjoy the conversation and move on.
Yeah.
And you're right. It doesn't bother me. Now I'm going to say this. If somebody got it wrong on a talk show or something, like, televised, I would be very upset.
I mean, that's the beauty of TV. If I was like a guest. Then you can just be like, it's actually Aisha. And then they can say that again. And bing, bang, boom. They cut out the bad one. They put in the good one.
Aisha, I'm loving bing, bang, boom out of you. Let me tell you this. You've been tossing it around, bing, bang, boom. And here we are. We're having a blast. I love it. I'm like, it's like the new yada, yada, yada. Yeah. It's like, bing, bang, boom. It's like, you can say it for anything.
I do. I really do. I say it all the time.
I love it.
I'm like, this is the kind of mom I am too. So my kid, I was teaching him about different fruits and we were trying different things. And I introduced mango as mango tango bingo bongo baby. And that's what he called it. That's what he thought the name of the fruit was. Mango tango bingo bongo baby. Like he was like, daddy, can I have some mango tango bingo bongo baby? And I'm like, he can't say all the words, but he knows how to say that whole thing. Going to school asking for mango tango bingo bongo baby.
Okay, this was really funny. So, you know, I've been going on, or we're done now, but I had gone on tour with Mo Welch.
I saw that.
Yeah, for the last couple months. She's the best. Mm-hmm. So she wrote her reps about me and they like, and when she talked to them, they had said my name wrong. They were like asking something about me. And she was like, no, like Alana Banana. And they're like, oh, okay, great. Cause that's usually how I'll say it. I'll be like, cause they go like Atlanta. And I'm like, no, more like banana. Right. Like it's Atlanta. You have the T's and you have to take them out. It feels complicated. So then whatever, then they write an email with like this contract and they were like, okay, so you and Atlanta Banana are going to go here. And they just thought that was my name. I've never been so happy. I realized I should have changed my name ages ago.
Because everyone be mistaken for the other Alana who's banned from all of the like on, you know, studio sites and stuff like
that. What was I thinking? Listen, Alana Johnson can't get in anywhere, but Alana Banana, she everywhere. Can get in everywhere.
Can I also say though, I feel like when people defend your name like that, like so some one of your friends obviously knows your name, and then somebody else, a third party, says your name wrong, and that friend of yours says, No, it's actually, and then they correct them. That for me is like the universal win because
it feels amazing
and it makes you feel like, oh, this person's like ride or die for my name. It's a wonderful thing. It's it's very touching to me.
I do that all the time. I correct it for my friend because it's annoying for your friend to have to do that all the time.
Yes. And you kind of like we're talking about, you just sort of give up and you go, that's fine. But when someone else is like, no, it's not fine. You're like, you're right. It's not fine. You do your thing, girl. Like it's the
best. It's like when people mistake you and my sister for being the same person.
Happens all and I have the
to
time.
Go, and I have to go, no. There's been some confusion here. Allow me to clarify.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I need to like take a photo with your sister so that we can like post that.
Oh my God, you're right. We'll fly in. Now, you had mentioned some upcoming travel.
Yes.
Is this to... Has the fam met the baby or is this like a COVID thing and they haven't or what's the situation? Because I know some people had babies and then their family couldn't meet them for quite a bit of time, more than usual.
So some of our family has met both of our babies.
Okay.
Some have only met our eldest. And so we're going to New Hampshire. Because my husband's family has like a farm that his aunt lives in this area that's like sort of secluded. And so his whole family is going. Yeah, like his parents are going. The aunt and uncle will be there. His cousins will be there. His sister, her family, brother, his family, all going to stay at this farm. We're going for a month. They're going for different amounts of time. And then also his grandmother passed away recently. So they're having her memorial. Oh. She was 92. She was an amazing firecracker of a woman.
Okay.
They're having a memorial for her. So it's like all these things are happening that have been like we've been waiting to do. But lots of his family hasn't met our youngest. Then I'm going to Toronto for a little bit because I haven't seen my friends or my brother and his kids now live there. And so I haven't seen people in so long. So it's this trip. And then we're going to a wedding at the end. So it's like this trip that's kind of seeing people we haven't seen in a long time. You know, me seeing friends and family meeting our kids, doing this memorial. It's just so much stuff.
No that's wonder why I really you were don't want paranoid.
Yeah. Like screw things up. But it's going to be great. Our cell phones don't work there. It's brilliant.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
You know what's really nice about your trip to Toronto to see friends and stuff? Because I feel like with the pandemic and everything, the first trip we all took when we could was to go see family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, and I think the last couple of years that I've gone home, I haven't really seen friends because I had some immune compromised family members.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of lock down when you get there and you don't want to be out and about and whatever. And I, Norm took a trip home in April to mainly see friends.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't seen them in years. He came back a new man. It was like,
it's really revitalizing. Oh, I'm like, it's such a part of, like, for me anyway, it's such a part of who I am that I kind of forget about. And this pandemic has made me really remember that, which is a beautiful thing. And even friends here, like in the same city that I haven't seen, I'm like, oh man, I want to tell my friends I love them all the time. I want to see them. I want to take them for lunch. I want to buy them a coffee just to let them know that, like, I love them so much. And my family, like, I'm from Winnipeg. And I have not gone to Winnipeg in multiple years now. So all of my friends there I haven't seen. I'm hoping to go back this winter. And I'm so excited for that. Toronto I haven't been to in multiple years. So now I'm getting to see friends and just even eat in my favorite restaurants that I miss. Like things like that.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And Toronto's so good for that.
Toronto's great.
Every other or every two storefronts is a restaurant.
Yes.
Like when you're walking and then a coffee shop and then a store.
And it's a walking city, so you get to like enjoy it. I lose weight every time
I go home. Yes. Just from walking, no exercise.
You gain it by eating all the food that you've missed for so long. And like, I'm so, like, I messaged my friend Coco Galore, another performer in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm coming for like 3 days. I don't want to like see everybody necessarily. I'm like going to do some shows maybe and then I'll see people. But I was like, I really want to make sure I see my close friends and do the things I really want to do. And she immediately was like, when are we going to Buk Chang Dong, which is a Korean restaurant that has a specific kind of soup that I love. I used to live in Korea. And I'm like, she gets me so much because I was like, I was going to go there before I went to the hotel. Would you like to come with me? Like I was like, before I even told people I was in town, I was going to this restaurant and then I'll see my good friends.
I was going to go there alone and continue to do that.
Yeah.
So you enjoy your day and honestly stay out of my business. I have absolutely no plans of going with you to this restaurant.
I just need to sit there and have three soups in front of me and spend the day eating all the soup I've missed over the past 3 years.
Yeah, no, I love, I would say when I go home, my favorite thing to get is roti.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Toronto is so
at India's, Mother good. India's, no, India's rest, no, that's here. Something like that. And it's amazing.
The food in Toronto is unbelievable. There's so many different kinds of food.
Do you miss it? Do you miss Toronto enough to say go live there? Or are you like, no, I'm here. Pretend your husband was an American. Like pretend, and your kids. Pretend you could go wherever.
My life wasn't what it is right now.
Yeah, so pretend everyone can travel or live where they want to live. Then does that change anything?
I think that I would consider spending half my time in Toronto. Like I love Winnipeg. That's where I'm from. But I don't think I could ever move back there. But Toronto.
Very different in Winnipeg. For those of you that don't know Canada, very different in Winnipeg.
Real different. Winnipeg's like small town, real cold most of the time. But I'm a 204 girl through and through. Like that's me. That's my home. But Toronto, I think even my husband would like, and I think my kids would like. It's just, my husband can't, like I like said, he's a social justice lawyer. He can only practice in California. Because you have to get different things, tests. I don't even know how it works, but you know what I mean? Like, so, but we were thinking about during the pandemic, like, should we go to Canada so he can get his citizenship? Because you have to live there for 6 months. But of course, we didn't think it was going to last that long. So we're like, what's the point? And now looking back, we're like, we could have done that.
Oh my God, you totally could have.
He was working remotely anyway, so we could have.
How could you have known?
Couldn't have known. I mean,
couldn't have.
But known. I do. I'm like, I love LA. I really love LA. And I feel like I'm just still the tip of the iceberg because I only officially moved and stayed here full time since 2018. So I had then in 2019, I was pregnant and had a baby. So it's like, I really only had one good year of being like no babies attached to me where I could explore and do things. Then I had my baby, then the pandemic hit. And then now I'm kind of coming back on the other side to like really explore the city and the surrounding areas and like get to know it. You know what I mean? Because I really love it. It's great here.
You know, that's actually this is the perfect time for you to explore it when you feel like you have roots here.
Yeah.
Because when I first moved here and I would explore things, I was so easily influenced by the experience. So for example, if I went somewhere and it didn't go well, I'd be like, I hate LA, I'm moving.
Right.
If I went somewhere and it went well, I was like, I love it here.
Yeah.
Now I am so rooted here because I know at my core I'm staying here and I really like it. I find I can have good or bad experiences and it's like it's unwavering. Like, you know what? I'm steady. I'm holding
firm.
You're married. That I'm staying
married
here.
To LA.
But I'm married to LA because, you know, I was like, I married a Canadian. We can leave anytime we want.
But that's what I mean. It's like, you know, when you get married, it's like, this, for me anyway, like, I never wanted to be married. I'm like, I don't like, I used to be a wedding planner and I was like, I don't want to do it. It's not for me.
Me neither. Right? Still to this day. What are you talking about?
But it's like, there is something interesting about when you are married, it's like this extra added thing where you're like, it gave me that, I have big trust issues, and it gave me this extra level of security where I'm like, even when things are bad, this is the person I want to have the bad stuff with. This is the person I want to struggle through it all with. And I feel like that's the same thing about when you live here and you have roots here, because you're like, I could pick up and leave, especially you're both Canadian. You could, you know, you could just go. But you're connected here in a level that's like deeper, where you would have to detangle yourself now. And so it makes you
My
feel,
friends are here.
Yes. It makes you what feel am I gonna, like you want to stay. Yeah.
What am I going to do? It's like, I still have some friends in Toronto, but honestly, quite a few of them moved here.
Right.
So it's like, you know what I mean? I think I'd be like a little lonely. I mean, it'd be amazing to have my family close by. That'd be really fun. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but now how fun for them. They can come visit LA in the winter.
It's not like and we get live like in a some total break. Place where it's cold all the time and it's no it's fun. LA. We live in the best, one of the best places in the country.
Oh my God. Listen, if I could, I'd move to Texas. I don't know what to tell you guys. Trying to get in there, they won't invite me. Texas is invite only. Did you not know that? Right. I applied online. I applied.
They're like, sorry, we don't have room. Stand behind this little rope we have here.
Your husband was trying to become a citizen. I was trying to become a Texan. I don't mind saying. Did you know I became a citizen with Anessa and Holly?
At the same time?
You know what? Listen to this travesty. Inessa was a couple weeks after Holly and I, because she applied just a little bit later than we did. But Holly and I got our citizenship on the same day, an hour apart, because they give you your time. Turns out we could have gone to the same one. We could have become citizens together.
Oh, holding hands.
Can you believe it?
Aww.
Holding hands. Actually, no, because of COVID, you had to be apart. No hugging, no touching.
You
can only look at the person
mine.
Beside you.
You're like, and wink. They're allowing winks. They are not allowing high fives.
Aisha, get a head start. They are backed up there, my friend.
I know, but you know, the real reason I didn't apply was because, I don't know how for you, but when I was applying, it said you had to go through and say when you had left the country and come back into the country for the last 5 years. And it has to be like, well, 5 years ago when I was going back and forth, because I was working in Canada on a couple shows and coming here, it is so complicated because I would go from one place to the next and have different stops. My agents booked some tickets. I booked some tickets. I didn't keep track of any of this stuff. So I legit was like, I started it and I was like, this is too much work. I'll just wait a year for when it was less complicated. And then I'll start from
then. So
when
the 5 years starting at 2019?
2018.
Because you said but it was the year before that it was the chaos?
Yeah. So I'll apply next year. So I'll have to only go from when I was, you know, married and pregnant. I wasn't leaving a lot. It's great.
You know, just so everybody knows, this process of becoming a citizen when you're Canadian, of any country, is excruciating.
It's a lot.
It is so much paperwork, and you need to have tracked every fart you've had in the last 5 years.
I have done I just haven't tracked when I'm coming out of the country.
Oh, so you've got your fart tracker up and running.
Yes, 100%. A couple apps to help me track that, but
couple apps.
It's really hard, and I think people don't really understand, because like, oh, it must be so easy because you're Canadian. It's just, you know, you're so close. And I was like, it makes it harder. Like, it would have been easier. Yeah. I was born in Nigeria. I'm like, it would have been an opportunity for me to apply as a Nigerian into the, you know, they have a lottery system for getting into Canada and the States. I'm like, I have friends who've got it. And I was like, maybe I should just go that route, because it's like, it's so much work. I found a number when I was applying for my green card that was the helpline for immigration for applying for your green card. Okay. And this it feels like a sketch that I made up. I called there because I had some questions, and the person who answered was like, listened very carefully. And then I said, so what do I need to do? And they said to me, I'm not allowed to tell you. And I said, what? And they said, well, we're not allowed to tell you what you should do or not do because it's all, it's like a person to person basis. So we can't actually give advice. And I said, what is this number for? And I think it's just so that you can like rant at somebody and then they're like, I'm sorry, I am legally not allowed to help you.
So you had to go to a lawyer.
Well, I had a lawyer. My lawyer didn't know. So this is the real thing was I'm born in Nigeria. And my birth certificate, so it was already a red flag, right? Being from Nigeria is a red flag anywhere you go. But my birth certificate is a handwritten piece of paper that was photocopied and given to my parents. So it doesn't seem legit, all right? Alrighty. Now, I became a citizen of Canada when I was a baby. So the picture on my citizenship card is me as a baby. Also, they're like, well, we can't use that to identify you. So we need something else. So I had to get my citizenship certificate, which is an embossed piece of paper, and when you photocopy that to send it in, it just looks like a piece of paper because the embossment doesn't come up, and it looks like it's all of it was real shady. And I was like, I promise you, I am not being shady. I was like, what else can I do to prove that I'm a citizen of Canada? And I called this number, and they're like, we can't tell you. There's a lot of things you can do, and they kept being like, do you like giving weird hints? Like, is there some kind of religious affiliation you have that maybe you could think about? And I was like, I didn't ever go to church, and they're like, ugh. Well, is there maybe? And I was like, just tell me what the thing is. Tell me what the thing is. This is a helpline. Oh, and they said they couldn't. Like, it was so funny.
For the American listeners out there, we get it. You don't want us. Yeah. Okay. We hear you loud and clear. I used to have this roommate in Chicago because when I lived there, I was just doing classes.
Mm-hmm. Love Chicago.
And I love Chicago. And she used to threaten to call ICE on me all the time when she was mad. She'd be like texting me and be like, maybe I'll give a little call to ICE and let them know. And I was like, I'm just taking classes. Like, I was like, I go home. Yeah. I go home. I was like, I don't like, I'm doing everything legally. It's like not a problem. It's but that crazy. Was her big thing. And she used to always threaten to call
ICE. That's a horrible, horrible roommate. My gosh, I'm sorry you went through that.
You know, she used to claim she was a makeup artist on this big TV show, and she used to claim and she had big old boobs, and she used to say that the cast was always like, just show me, because there would be eye level with the boobs, and they would be like, just show me. And she used to like tell me that all the time, and I was like, okay, well, are you gonna do it?
And you're like, so what's the next step?
And she was like, no, Alana, I'm not gonna do it. And then I was like, maybe you should say something, because I just don't know about this.
What is the point of that story? She's right. Like, I'm being like harassed. You're like, you should say something. She's like, no, just know that. Just know
the
that
point of the story is that,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like this. So I'm only telling you this to let you know just how weird of a person I'm dealing with here. Who like tells me she's being propositioned, but then also is like, but I'm going to call ICE. And I'm like, okay, are the two related? What are we doing here? Oh, I miss her. Liz, if you're out there and you're listening, I really hope your boyfriend that broke out of rehab to come see you against his parole officer's wishes sorted it out.
Oh, you know she's listening. You know she's listening.
Aisha, you started this podcast at a soaring 8. How you feeling now? Have I taken you down a few rungs, or have we maintained?
Bumped it, baby. I'm like exploding out the top of the 10 thermometer. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, ah! I just burst the top off. Mercury is flying everywhere. It's horrible.
You mean kind of like two firecrackers being shot at each other?
I love that visual. That makes me so happy. It brings up the joy level. Yes. I'm on top of the world. This is the best. I wish we could have done it in person. We will have another conversation in person soon. But this was an absolute delight. That's what I like
you know
to describe
what?
It.
I'm feeling like a million. I didn't even check in at the beginning. I'm feeling like $1 million right now, because I just feel like I found out we have, and we don't live the same life by any means. We have a lot more in common than I thought we did, though.
I feel like we're like
more than just the energy.
Tracks, like living our, yes, it's beautiful.
I mean, and I know we talked about being a mom, but I have the dog. I'm doing my own thing.
You're looking after some other thing. It's exactly the same.
And guys, how's if you want me to look going? After the breast, if you guys are looking to get breastfed, hit me up.
Call Liz.
Add a self-esteem party. Hashtag suck it.
I can't believe I have not used that hashtag on any breastfeeding photo I've ever posted.
It's yours.
I need
Go.
To now. That's
it's
beautiful.
Yours. Speaking of, where can we find you on Instagram to see what upcoming shows and stuff you're doing and putting out there?
My Instagram, my website, my everything is luckily just my name, at Aisha Alpha. Alpha with an F and not a PH. I appreciate you thinking I'm number one, though. I really do. People always spell it with a PH, and I'm like, yeah, I'm an alpha dog.
No,
but just put an F there instead of the PH.
This is why I had you enter your number into my phone,
because
that's
spelling.
The only
I
way I'm
going
to know the spelling is right.
Yeah.
If I do it, I'm going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
You know what
I'll
mean?
I'll say to people, A-L-F, and I watch them when I say F, write in PH, and I'm like, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I used to also have A-I-S-H-A-A-L-P-H-A.com. And I would redirect it to my site because so many people spelt my name wrong. I got
Smart.
All the domains. Yeah.
Genius.
Smart. It only cost me $5 extra dollars.
I have all the Alana Johnson dude what dot coms. I got the .ca. I got the .org. I got it all. If you guys want to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me newly back on Instagram, I am at the only Alana Johnston. And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Alana _ Johnston. And don't forget about the Patreon, you guys, Self Esteem Party Patreon. We're in there. We're doing the calls, monthly calls for one of the tiers. We've got bonus episodes. Aisha, we'd love to have you back on for the Self Esteem After Party where we catch up with guests and
love
see what
it.
They've been up to since our last episode. So we will have to wait a bit of time to do that.
Yes.
Start taking notes in your voice memos of what you'd like to discuss.
Right. I will. And I will put them all. I will put them Alana Banana, colon, and then the information I want to bring back up. Perhaps I'll even try brown rice and avocado, see how my complexion, you know, changes. I'll report back when we come back for the after party.
Hey, guys, tune into that. Thank you so much, Aisha.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Believe in yourself.